morning's scripture reading will be found in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Good morning. I feel like this winter has been one where we'd ought to wait till Saturday night to see who doesn't have the bug before we decide who's going to speak. But I guess it's my turn, so we could have a short lesson this morning. I'm not sure how many of you, I have a couple stories I want to tell you to begin with. It was on the news, I think, about a week or two ago of a person that had called in to one of the, I think it was a government office, it could have been a utility. But anyway, they were asked to hold while they talked to a customer, and in the process, this person on the phone overheard the conversation of this woman in pleading for more time to pay her bill because she didn't have the money. And when this representative got back on the phone, the person on the phone offered to pay her bill if they would keep his name anonymous and just tell the woman that all she had to do was pass the deed on to someone else when she was able to. And so this happened. And the second story I want to tell you is about a man that I work with. And he's got a very gracious attitude. I've sent him a lot of jobs, and he's been very grateful for those. And he's very polite and conscientious. He's considerate of others. And this past summer, he was driving down the highway, and he has a daughter somewhere around 10 years old that was riding with him. And we had all this construction going on 163 this year, where it condensed down to two lanes. And at one of those places, he was following a young woman, and she got off on a shoulder where it was rough, and she lost control of her car. And when she tried to pull it back on, she hit a truck head on. And I think by that time the speed was probably a little bit reduced from what they were traveling. But this 20-year-old girl that was driving this car was a small girl. She was from a family in Prairie City that Joyce and I had surrounding us when we lived over there. They're a very wonderful family. But she was knocked unconscious, and her car instantly went up in flames. And this man that I work with was confronted with a decision to make. The car on fire, his 10-year-old daughter sitting beside him. He decided he was going to try and help. And as he ran towards the car, the man driving the truck ran the other way. And he says, "I'm okay." And that's all he cared about. But this friend of mine pulled the door open on the car and released the seatbelt and carried this unconscious woman away as the tires blew out behind him and fuel tank shortly after that. And I asked him, when he was telling me about it, I said, well, how did you ever get the door open after a head-on collision? And he says, I don't know, but I didn't have trouble opening it. It came open. And the seatbelt released. And he says, I felt like if I would have had trouble opening it, I probably would have died because I wasn't going to leave her in there. And he told me that this family calls him at least once every week or two, and they've become close friends because he saved their daughter's life. And that would be a difficult thing for a lot of people to do when they had their own child sitting there and maybe either witness him being a hero or witness their father dying, trying. But he told me that he was grateful that he got the chance to help somebody. And you know, humility is a quality that we love to see in others. But if it's humility, it's oftentimes something you don't always see in others, because it's not something that you flaunt. Humility is a thing that is difficult to maintain in our lives, in our children, because of the pressures of influence of the world around us. And today I have many questions and only a few answers. And one of my questions is, I wonder how many of us realize it is, when we read the verse, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That verse implies that it is still blessed to receive, because without someone humbling themselves enough to be the receiver, there can be no giver. So if life this year humbles you to where you may be the one in need of help, remember that verse, that it is blessed to be on both ends. It is blessed that you humble yourself to accept the help. It is just more blessed if you find yourself in the opportunity to be the giver. But God admires both. Other general questions that have crossed my mind recently. Does God still use nations to punish other nations, as we read in the Old Testament times? And how many times did God have to humble Israel because they lacked humility and wandered off from worshiping Him? How many times did God send forth deliverers to Israel? And how many times did He send forth other countries to deliver His wrath? And is the United States about to be humbled? Is the Lord coming soon? We recently celebrated a holiday that has been added by our government. It's Martin Luther King's birthday. One of my favorite speeches was given by him, "I Have a Dream." And do you suppose that Martin Luther King would have ever dreamed that there would someday be a black president of the United States? I have dreams. How about you? I have a dream that God would open my eyes to let me see myself as others see me. Then I might be able to change things that would allow me to be better accepted. I have a dream that God would open my eyes to let me see others that I can help. I have a dream that God would open my eyes to let me see myself as God sees me, that I might make changes that He will accept me. I have a dream that the parents here and the grandparents here and the other church members here will have a stronger pull on our youth than what the world has. I have a dream that I can become a better grandpa to my grandkids, because I see other people influencing them in ways that I don't want. And I hope that I can be better than I have. I have a dream that the Lord will remind me as I start every day that sin is not just doing wrong, but as the book of James tells us, sin is also when you have the opportunity to do good and you fail to do it. This is sin. And in Matthew, the 25th chapter, verse 37, says, when did we see you in prison or hungry and thirsty or clothed you? And the Lord says, at least you've done it into any of these, you've done it into me. So when you wonder about yourself, I don't know that I've sinned. Be reminded daily, sin is not just the doing of wrong. It's passing up opportunities to do good. I have a dream that if life humbles me, my problems humble me, that I will be grateful that it worked, that life did humble me. Because so many examples in the Bible that we have of people that were tested and were never humbled in the sight of the Lord. And without humility, we can never approach God in a good frame of mind. I have a dream that this year maybe I can better balance my daily life. In the news this week, we had the story of an asteroid that I don't know how much publicity this got, but it was the size of a baseball field that it just missed Earth. And astrologists didn't even know it was there until the day before it went by us. It missed us by a few thousand miles. And they said the last time that an asteroid hit the Earth of this size, that it entirely wiped out 800 square miles. And I have a dream that if that asteroid, the next one, comes and hits in that 800 square mile area that I am in, that I will be ready to meet my Maker. I have a dream that the Lord will answer all my questions someday, but not today. Why? Because of the verses that Nico read to us a while ago. Hebrews 11th chapter, verse 1. What did it say? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you have all the scientific proofs of God being the Creator, we have enough proofs that we should be convinced. But if we have all the answers of how everything works, it will all be factual. And it will not require any faith because it will all be fact. And Hebrews 11:6 ended with, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So it is in our best interest that we not get all of our answers right now, because we want to have faith when the world still doubts that there is a God. I've had a dream that I wish I could know the future. But Solomon tells me that in much knowledge is much grief. I have a dream that in the end I will have learned to automatically do the Lord's will and not my own. I have a dream that as a Christian I won't disappoint my Lord with a proud look. And I have a dream that the abilities I have been given will be used to God's glory and not my own glory. I have a dream as a businessman that I can better represent myself as a Christian to the customers that I have. This past winter I had to apologize to one for failing to live up to what he expected, as I didn't get his job done before the winter shut me down. You know, a wife, in order to please God, humbles herself to let the man be the head of the house. Why? Even if she might do a better job at it, why would she do that? Because God said so. 1 Corinthians 11th chapter verse 3 and Ephesians the 5th chapter verse 22 and 23 tell us this is God's plan. So if this is God's plan that man be head of the house, even though man quite oftentimes is inferior to the woman's ability to manage things, she has to find a way to be a help to her husband using her abilities in a submissive way. Why? Not because her husband is necessarily superior in ability, but because it's God's will. And when she chooses to give up her own will of being in charge, she shows submission to the Lord. We are all servants. There's someone above all of us. And in order to serve, you must be humbled. You must submit to another's will, not your own, to be a servant. In the military, you enlist at the bottom, and you take orders from others, or you are court-martialed. That is the first lesson in the military, is that you respect others, you obey orders. Now, if you were to observe a family that had servants, whether it be on a TV show or in real life, generally speaking, you would see them taking orders from the husband and wife of that family, and oftentimes they even take orders from the children. And occasionally they will politely offer a suggestion to be considered by the head of the household, but the servant never tells the head of the house what to do. It is not normally, a servant is not normally free to do his own will when he is a servant, to set his own hours and say, I don't want to start at that time, I don't want to quit at that time, I don't do Sunday evenings or I don't do Wednesday evenings. Do we really comprehend when Christ calls us to serve him what serve him means? It means to do the Lord's will and not our own. It means to be submissive to those who try to lead, the elders. And if you have humbled yourself to serve in order to please God, you follow their lead because the Lord put them in as leaders. You are the servant when the elders set the church schedule. A servant cannot make a multiple choice list of what he honors and what he chooses not to do. The elders set up our meeting times. The elders set up our monthly program and our teacher's schedule for our own good, for our benefit, lest they have to give an ill report. They will have to give an account of your submissiveness. In the Bible, we have both examples of those who humbled themselves and those who didn't. In Exodus, the 10th chapter, we have an example of Pharaoh being challenged by Moses. How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? And in Daniel, we have two different examples of leaders failing to be humble in the sight of the Lord. Nebuchadnezzar, in the 4th chapter of Daniel, is put to his knees and is sent to pasture that he might be humbled and made to graze as an animal in the grass. And his son never, although he witnessed all this, did not learn from it. And in Daniel, the 5th chapter, he had handwriting on the wall. And was told in Daniel, the 5th chapter, verse 22, "And now his son Belshazzar has not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all these things." And on the other hand, we have examples of those who did repent and humbled themselves in the sight of God and were accepted. One of my favorite stories is in Numbers, the 22nd chapter, of Balaam as he's riding his donkey, and the donkey can see the angel, but Balaam can't. And three times the donkey saves Balaam's life, and three times he gets beaten for it. And when Balaam realizes that it is he who is in error, he falls upon the ground and hides his face and repents to the Lord that he was in error. In Acts 9th chapter, we have the story of Saul of Tarsus before he became Paul, the apostle, and how he had to be humbled to see that he was not, as even though his zeal was fully intended to serve the Lord and please God, he was not pleasing God by his choice. And he had to be humbled to be shown another way. And Jonah was given an assignment and chose to run, swallowed up by the fish, and that seems to have a humbling effect on people. It's the only story we have of that happening, but it worked for Jonah. He humbled and prayed to God and said, "I've changed my mind. I would like to please you." And so his humbling attitude was pleasing to the Lord. Proverbs, the 27th chapter, verse 2, tells us to let another man praise you and not from your own lips. Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter, verse 2, reminds us that God is in heaven and that you are on earth, and not to be brash or rash with your mouth in the words that you choose to use. Remember where you're at. Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 3, reminds us not to think too highly of ourselves, lest we be put in our place. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 18, says, "Let the wise become a fool so that he can actually become wise." 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 12, tells us, "He who thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall." 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verse 4, reminds us that love is never puffed up, no matter what the blessings are that are in your life, that you retain your humility. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 21, says that we must submit to one another. James, the 4th chapter, tells us that God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And in verse 10, he says, "Humble yourselves, and he will lift you up." Job, in all his frustrations as he had his blessings wiped out, finally uttered words out of his mouth uncharacteristic of his previous self. And in the 40th chapter, the Lord challenged and answered him back. And Job said, "I put my hand upon my mouth." He was embarrassed about what he had said. We have a couple of stories in the Old Testament of men that were given the ability to interpret dreams and visions. Joseph in Genesis and Daniel in the book of Daniel. And both men, when they were brought in to use those abilities, because people in authority had heard they had a great ability, they denied this being anything of themselves. They said, "There is no greatness in me. It is the Lord that will interpret the dream. That glory be given to God." And whether we find ourselves in this coming week as a giver or a receiver, remember that in order to please the Lord, all things we must do in humility, that God be glorified. whether we be found in want and have to have a helping hand, or whether we find ourselves an opportunity to help others. May God be glorified that you had the opportunity and that you had the blessings to enable you to do that. We're going to bring this lesson to a close and ask you to review your relationship with God, that we be reminded each time we meet that we have opportunities to make corrections, to humble ourselves, that we might be pleasing to the Lord, because that's all that really matters. As we stand and sing.